Hi, this is Greg, and welcome to Discovery Online. We are in the third and final week of a series of talks that we're calling Gather, Grow, and Go. And today we're focusing on Go and Serve, and the main text comes from John chapter 1, verses 35 through 49. So, in the first five books of the Bible, we have the Gospels, which are the first four, and then the book of Acts. And they tell the story of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection here on earth, and about the founding of the Christian faith. And though the absolute, undeniable, big idea of the Gospels and the book of Acts is the fact that they share the good news. They tell us that sinners can be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Those Gospels and the book of Acts also establish that true believers grow in faith over the course of time and become disciples who go and serve the mission of Jesus. And in this final talk, I want us to discover how Jesus made believers into disciples and made more disciples who made more disciples, and how Jesus commissioned you and me to go and do the same. And I want to start with a very simple and basic idea. God wants all people to be believers. And we know that from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says this. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. He said, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful, quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good," now listen, "and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God wants all people to be saved and know the truth of the Gospels of the Bible, of the Word of God. So think about it. If parents whose children died in a war for the cause of freedom want their sacrifice to mean something, then they live and they stand for freedom. They're the people who are placing their hands over their hearts when the flags go by in a parade, when maybe so many other people are just standing there talking and not paying much attention. They want the death of their loved one to mean something, to make a difference. And it's no different with God. He gave his only son. He sent Jesus to suffer and die on a cross so that we could be forgiven and saved. And God wants all people to accept that gift of grace through faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. And it's so important that we know God wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to become believers. And since Jesus knows how important saved souls are to God, he wants, number two, all people to be disciples. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus said this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus said, go and make disciples. And how do we do that? We baptize them into believers, and then we teach them to obey all things that Jesus has commanded, which turns them into disciples. Jesus wants all people to be his disciples. He wants all people to go and serve. So a disciple is someone who helps Jesus help people come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved, just like God wants. In other words, when you're a disciple, you're giving God his heart's desire. And that's so important, guys. It's the best gift that we could ever give him. And doing that won't earn us a thing. It is our response to his grace, his gift, his love towards us. So, God wants all people to be a believer, and Jesus wants all people to be disciples. And to become a disciple, number three, people must, number one, discover who Jesus really is. In today's Bible reading, it's a beautiful story about some of Jesus' first disciples. It's from John chapter 1, and right here I'm going to share with you verses 43 through 49, and it says this. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He met Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from the town of Bethsaida, the same as Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the man that Moses wrote about in the law. The prophets wrote about him too. He is Jesus, the son of Joseph. He is from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to Philip, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip answered, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "This man coming is a true Israelite, one you can trust." Nathanael asked, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip told you about me." Then Nathanael said, "Teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So it's important that we discover who Jesus really is. And at first, Nathanael's like, "Yeah, he can't be the Messiah. He came from Nazareth." And he was just using information that he had to make a judgment on Jesus. But then he met Jesus and actually discovered who he really is, ending their time together by saying, "Jesus, you are the Son of God." Guys, Jesus is not a picture on the wall or a character in the Bible. He is the Son of the living God, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our Redeemer, our Teacher, our King, and our friend. And our relationship with Him should flow out of that center. We need to discover the real Jesus first before we enter into a journey of faith, because if we're walking with the not real Jesus, we're walking on the wrong path. We need to discover the real Jesus. Otherwise, our journey with Jesus just may be doomed. There's a story in John chapter 6 that kind of covers that. Jesus had come to the point where he was giving his disciples a pretty hard teaching, and it didn't go so well. Let me read to you from John chapter 6, verse 35, verse 60, and verses 66 through 69. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." On hearing this, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked his 12 disciples. And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." So do you see how important it is that we discover who the real Jesus is? When we know he's the real Jesus, we're going to follow him no matter what. If we're not 100% sure, if we're kind of basing our belief in Jesus, our discovery of Jesus on maybe something else somebody else said, or maybe we filter it through something that we want or need, when we don't get all those things, all of a sudden Jesus becomes not real. And so it's so important we discover who he really is so that we don't walk away. Clearly, discovering the real Jesus is necessary for a long-lasting right relationship with him. So the first thing we do to become disciples is discover who the real Jesus is. The second thing we do is follow Jesus wherever he leads. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, we read this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, guys, this was a total lifestyle change for Peter and his brother Andrew. They were fishermen. We know that Peter was married and had a family. And he would have fed his family and taken care of his family by going to work every day as a fisherman. And I'm sure the same was true of his brother Andrew. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes to them. They're really not even sure who he is yet at this point. And he says, "Follow me." And they get up and they follow him. And that is a major lifestyle change. It's from following me and what I want and need to following Jesus and putting my total and complete trust in him. And Jesus put that all into perspective when he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Take up their cross, deny themselves. Guys, following Jesus is a total lifestyle change. You can't just believe in Jesus and maybe move into where you discover the real Jesus and not be willing to say thank you to God over and over again by following Jesus wherever he leads. You know, Bill Bright is one of the 21st century's big evangelists, along with Billy Graham. His name is probably not synonymous to evangelism because most people don't know him. Instead of being like Billy Graham, who gave big talks in big stadiums, Bill Bright spent most of his time sharing the good news of Jesus one-on-one. He also founded Campus Crusade for Christ and other still existing and very powerful Christian organizations. And Bill would use what he called a drawing about the throne. And what he would say about it is, in this picture, what we see is that the person has placed themselves on the throne, and then they've placed Jesus way down here at the foot of their throne. In other words, they're in a relationship for themselves that they sometimes access Jesus to get what it is that they think they want or need. And as you can see, all those dots represent the things in this person's life, and there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of disarray. But when you look over at this one, you see that Jesus is placed on the throne, and the person is down below at the foot of the throne. And when that's your lifestyle, then you have order in your life. Things come together. God is at work for good because he loves you and has chosen you according to his purpose. Guys, it's about learning to trust that Jesus has your back. It's about letting go and letting God do something amazing in your life. It's about following Jesus wherever he leads. And thirdly, we need to love Jesus enough to obey his commands. Now, this is really where it comes into that kind of argument that exists out there among Christianity. Do we go to heaven because of God's good grace, or do we go to heaven because of our works? And the answer is, we go to heaven because of God's good grace, his love for us. But our works are a byproduct of his love for us. In other words, God's done this amazing thing for us, and our love for him is proved out by our willingness to do what he commands. And we discover that in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21 and 23 through 24. And this is Jesus talking on the night before he died on a cross. This was his final farewell to his followers before the cross. And he said this to them, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Now listen, "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Listen even more. "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." So guys, we are to love Jesus enough to obey his commands. We don't obey his commands to get into heaven. We obey his commands because God so loved the world, because Jesus loves us, because we love him in return, and our works, our good deeds are a proof of our love. It shows that we love Jesus. And very clearly, Jesus said, "Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." So it's so important that we come into a love Jesus enough to obey his commands relationship with Jesus. And his commands aren't burdensome. As a matter of fact, he summed up the whole Bible, all the rules, the Ten Commandments, everything. He summed it up in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31, saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There are no commandments greater than these. So loving Jesus and obeying his commandments is all about love. It's about loving God and loving others. That's what we're called to be and to do as disciples. And then Jesus added a new commandment later on in John 13, 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, now listen, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. Qualification there. If you love one another. And guys, again, obeying commandments or doing good deeds doesn't get you into heaven. That's not what's being said here. Going to heaven is a free gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ. We call it grace. However, these verses make it very, very, very clear that we are supposed to love Jesus. And when we truly love Jesus, our obedience and good deeds are, well, the proof of our love. It's all about loving Jesus enough to obey him. And I also have an FYI about being a disciple. A legit disciple is more than willing to go and make more disciples until Jesus comes again. How do we know that that's important? Well, Jesus said so in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We read it earlier, but I'd like to read it to you again. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And please notice that Jesus didn't say go and make believers. It's important to make believers, but it's also important because God wants all people to be believers. But it's important also to know that Jesus wants all people to be disciples. Why? So that they can help him as the church, the body of Christ, make more disciples, more people who know God and are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, because that's God's heart's desire. And we get to help in that when we become disciples. So whose soul are you helping save? How busy are you giving God his heart's desire in return for him giving us our heart's desire? In other words, can you be a true believer and not be a legit disciple? And that leads us to the big idea for the day. Guys, sinners become believers through faith in Jesus Christ. And believers become disciples when they discover, follow, and love the real Jesus. And legit disciples create the time and space in their lives needed to go and make more disciples, who make more disciples, who make more disciples to the glory of God until Jesus comes again. And if that's the kind of lifestyle that you want to step up into, and I hope and pray that it is, because it's the kind of lifestyle that Jesus wants you to step into. It's the kind of lifestyle that God wants you to step into. If you're ready for that, I've got a couple of next steps for you. Number one, would you reread today's Bible verses this week? They're listed right below this video. Number two, would you ask God to help you become a legit disciple? It always starts with reading the Word of God in prayer. God, help me. I want to do this. I'm committing myself to this, but I need your help. Number three, commit yourself to gathering and growing. That's the first two parts of this series, to gather in fellowship, to gather in worship, to gather together as the body of Christ, and then to grow in your knowledge and faith and love and hope that's all associated with God. So commit yourself to gathering and growing. Make coming to church and being a part of the life of the church and spending time in the Word of God and growing your faith, make that a big part of your life. And then finally, number four, attend disciple training and get going. And there's many ways for you to get disciple training online. If you're close by or a member of Discovery Fellowship, I have this process of making disciples called M410. It's Matthew chapters 4 through 10, where Jesus basically makes disciples out of the original believers that he said, follow me to. And it's all about going and serving. And if you're not in the area and you're seeing this video and you want that training, I will set it up to do with you Zoom. Maybe we'll make a video of it later on, I'm not sure. But we'll help make that happen because it's so important. It's so vital that we all gather together, grow in faith, and go and serve as disciples of Jesus. We're believers, then we're disciples, and we go and make more disciples and more disciples and more disciples for the glory of God. That, my friends, is really what a Christian lifestyle is all about. And I hope and pray that you move into that lifestyle in the coming days, weeks, and months, so that you can help people know God and be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's give God his heart's desire. In Jesus' name.